Yeah, okay, Rabbi Isai. The past few weeks we were discussing, as a hagdomah to the Oreches Tzaddikim, a little bit, we're talking about Rabbi Yankiv Emden. And there's always quite a bit to talk about Rabbi Yankiv Emden. We've not exhausted the information regarding him. And as we mentioned that Rabbi Yankiv Emden quotes in his Sefer quite extensively from the Sefer Oreches Tzaddikim. That's why we are discussing, taking the opportunity really to discuss Rabbi Yankiv Emden in the Sefer Migdal Ois, one of the Sforim of Rabbi Yankiv Emden, where he quotes very extensively 30 different ways of Cheshbonis in the Shar HaZechira, which deals with things that a person is supposed to remember in order to lead a Jewish life and so on and so forth. But at the same time, you know, Rabbi Yankiv Emden, as we know, was a fierce fighter for everything that he believed in. And he took on, you know, anyone and everyone. There was no one sacred or mighty enough that he would sort of like sit back. He was a fearless fighter and a very fierce opponent at the same time. However, being that he took on everyone and everyone, it was not always accepted his ways by many Gedolei Yisrael. And just to give you an example, going years later, one of the great Chachmei HaSfardim, and that is the Ben Ish Chai, right? Quite popular sefer, a lot of Sfarim written by the Ben Ish Chai, who was a great person, a great goyin, a great tzaddik, and was known as Rabbi Yosef Chaim. You know, he's from Baghdad. And the Ben Ish Chai, among other things, also wrote a Shal Tshuva, it's called Rav Po'olim. And in the Sefer HaPolim in the Hagdomah, the Ben Ish Chai comments regarding Rabbi Yankiv Emden. And there he points out that yes, he was one of the later Goyim of Ashkenaz, of German Jewry. He says this was Hagoyin Yavitz, this is Rabbi Yankiv Emden. Yavitz, again, Yankiv Ben Tzvi. That's how he called himself, Hagoyin Yavitz. He said, Ashehoye Takiv Bedatoi. He was very strong in his opinions. Takiv Bedatoi, very strong in his opinions. However, says the Ben Ish Chai in his Sefer HaPolim, but nevertheless, you know, he had opinions and he could not withhold the pen. In other words, he committed it to writing as well. So if anything that he said was not just said and over and done with, but actually committed it to paper, and many things of his opinions he printed as well. So it goes on to the point, not only did he write down his opinions, but he said he could not withhold his opinions, he says, Lebilti tseis min hagvul haroyu. Ben Ish Chai's opinion is that Rabbi Yankiv Emden went beyond the gvul. He crossed the line. He crossed the line in order in attacking those, right, that he did not agree with. He attacked them. So the Ben Ish Chai said that Rabbi Yankiv Emden would write to the extent of going beyond the gvul, going beyond the line, Levi Kvoidam Sharabisainu Rishayinim Zal. He says, even to Rishayinim. Now, Rishayinim are something, of course, that everyone and everybody has tremendous derchers. Rishayinim, talking about the Tkuf of the Rambam, the Balatoises, and Rashi. As great as the Achrayinim were, Achrayinim would never take on really Rishayinim. They would comment, I don't understand what the Rishon says. And there were various questions. You're allowed to question, allowed to probe. But at the end of the day, we don't have the ability to come to different conclusions. Although you may not understand everything, unless you find different Rishonim and have different opinions, you can choose one of them. But you can't on your own go against the Rishon. This is just the accepted way that we do not consider ourselves to be great enough to be able to do that. And yet Rabbi Yankiv Emden spares nothing, does not spare anything, and nothing holds him back even to go and attack Rishonim, writes the Ben Ish Chai. And he says, take a look, he says. First, this example is not a Rishon, but it has the Tosfos Yontif. Tosfos Yontif, of course, highly respected Pirush HaMishnayos, printed in all major editions of Mishnayos, called the Tosfos Yontif. The Tosfos Yontif was in the time of the Maral. So this was in the, you know, in the 1500s and early 1600s. So the Tosfos Yontif, he says, Ray, take a look, kam elbo in dvorim osel ha-goyim bal Tosfos Yontif. Take a look at how embarrassing he caused embarrassment, Rabbi Yankiv Emden did, regarding his comments against the Tosfos Yontif. The Ben Ish Chai makes that point. that Rabbi Yaakov Emden wrote against the Tosfos Shantiv, which would cause embarrassment to such a great person. Of course, Tosfos was not alive anymore. But the very fact, the way that Rabbi Yaakov Emden commented against him, in his Bir al Masechtas Ovis, Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Pirush al Masechtas Ovis, he takes on the Tosfos Shantiv, but it's no problem, you know, to take on in a very derchersdig way, and certainly in a way that you show that you respect, and you can offer a different opinion. But Rabbi Yaakov Emden doesn't do it that way. He utterly, like so, he destroys and tears up completely, you know, the opposing side. And he goes on further. V'loyoid, it's not enough. Tosfos Yontif, as great as he was an achron. Was, you know, was not in the medieval times, it was later. But Rabbi Yaakov Emden does not, right, hold back even to attack Rishonim, going back to the time of Rishonim, which are the medieval times. He says, V'loyoid elishenoga b'kvoid go'oina oilam Rishonim. And the Ben Ish Chai goes to point out, it's not me just saying that. He says, take a look, he says, what the Chidor wrote. The Chidor wrote in the Sefer Machzik Brocha. The Chidor was a contemporary of Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the 1700s. It was a contemporary of Rabbi Yaakov Emden and Rabbi Yonson Eibishitz. Chidor, among the many Sforim that the Chidor wrote, is a Sefer called Machzik Brocha. So the Ben Ish Chai draws our attention to what the Chidor writes in a Sefer Machzik Brocha in Arachai Mesimek Kuf Aleph, and he writes the following, the Chidor. Now the Chidor, you know, has seen a lot of manuscripts. Chidor has seen a lot of writing. There's not too much that surprises the Chidor. Yet, this is the Lashon that the Chidor writes. V'nivhalti merayis, he says. I became, he says, startled, he says, to the point it's frightening. The Chidor writes. I sort of became mevoel, he says, confused, frightened from seeing the eshtoimim, and I became stunned, astonished, he says. The hand that stretched out lichtoiv kachal gedoyl oilam, on the hand of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that he was able to go so far to write against such great people, Harashba. He does not hold back against the Harashba, Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Rabbeinu Yeruchim, he says, Umoron. Moron means the Bais Yosef. Rabbi Yaakov Emden would attack the Bais Yosef, would attack the Harashba, would attack Rabbeinu Yeruchim. These people, says the Chidor, mind you, these great people that I just mentioned, he says, the Rashba that I mentioned, Ben Yeruchim that I mentioned, the Beis Yosef, these people were so great, she'ein chachma d'areinu, no one in our generation, the chachamim of our generation, are not even kedai to be their students. They're not kedai li'us talmideim, he says, b'chochma b'yiro. First of all, you see that the Cher, the Chidor, can imagine, one of the great people himself, how you see that he's batlus, how he's mavatl himself, totally, you know, to the great people of the previous generations. And he says, we are not even worthy, he says, to be their students in chokhmah and wisdom and in yira, and so on and so forth. He calls them kedosh el yoinim, the holy ones which are way up, mighty and high, he says. And yet, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, right, nothing frightened him, nothing held him back from going against such great people. And then the Ben Ish Chai also points out, he says, no, I want you to look further, Lahagoyin Chidor. The Chidor also in another place, in a Sefer Machzik Brocha, where he writes again regarding Rabbi Yaakov Emden. The Chidor was so upset on something that Rabbi Yaakov Emden wrote against the Ramban. This is the Ramban now. So Chidor was so upset that he uses the following Loshon in his Sefer Machzik Brocha. He says, Vishara le more. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive him. It's a lotion we find in Chazal many times. When someone says something which is utterly very, very extreme and is not agreed upon, we find that one Amayra would say to the other one, Shara le more, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgive him for what he said, for allowing his mouth, you know, to utter these kinds of words, making these kind of statements. So the Chidor uses the same thing regarding Rabbi Yaakov Emden. He says, "Vishara le'more, let his master, meaning Kodesh Baruch Hu, let him forgive him." Shekoysev al Ramban, that he writes on the Ramban, "Kashidaber ishal reyehu." Yaakov Emden speaks against the Ramban like one speaks with his chaver, as if Ramban would be his chaver, right? Would be his contemporary, would be his equal, be his peer. Kodesh Baruch Hu should forgive him. He says, for taking on that attitude, he says, and he says, "Umi som peh loymar." How can you have a mouth? Says the Chidor. How can you have a mouth? Loimal echad hamiyuchet berabavse kamoi, one of the greatest, earliest rabbeim, teachers, as the Ramban. Asher, he says, he is so great, and shlo yorad, Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that Ramban was lo yorad lo imakwinya. He didn't go deep enough into the sugya. This is like a chaver, right, saying to his chavrusya. He didn't learn it deep enough. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden is able to utter these kind of statements, make these kind of statements against Ramban. How is it possible, the Chiddush says? And the Chiddush says further, my whole body trembles. The Chiddush. My whole body trembles at Biraisi when I see Laharav Hanisker, the aforementioned Rav, meaning Rabbi Agivemdim, Beseder Diburai Al Rishonim, this attitude towards the Rishonim, and so on. And he goes on further again and again in other places as well, pointing that out. He says, how can he speak out against the Malochim? Rishonim ke Malochim, the early generations in our eyes are like angels, because we are so far removed from the great people that they were. And therefore, again, this is interesting. The Ben Ish Chai, in the Shal Zichu, is Rav Paul making that comment. Yet, I just want to mention to you that the Chassam Sofer in a Tshuva, in Chelik Vav, when he makes a comment regarding Yankiv Emden, he says someone, regarding a particular issue, I want you to look into a sefer, particular sefer of Rabbi Yankiv Emden, and you'll find, said the Chassam Sofer, in Chelik Vav Simen Untes, Tim Sisham, you will find in that sefer of Rabbi Yankiv Emden, Ki Dover Godel Dibra Elecho HaNovi, he calls him like Novi. So here we see some sefer respected him tremendously, and of course Rabbi Yankiv Emden was respected, but yet you see he had his critics as well, who were just not amicable, so did not like at least the writing style, you know, of Rabbi Yankiv Emden. So it's not big exaggeration to say he was a confrontational person, that he really believed everything that he said. He was an emesdiki person, because in fact this is what he believed, but once he believed it, there was nothing that held him back. There was no fence, there was no barrier, just like let loose, and he would write whatever he felt inside, and this is what he would put on paper. So let's go to Rabbi Yisai, let's take a look here, let's go to the Orech HaTzadikim, and we start actually a new Shar HaShlishi. We start a new Shar, a new chapter, totally new chapter, Shar HaShlishi. This he deals with Shar HaBusha. It's called the Gate of Shame. Talking about the Mid of Shame. A person should feel embarrassed when you do something that's inappropriate. And I think in today's times we can understand why it is so important, maybe to see the few words, because we live in a time there's no such thing as Busha anymore. There's no such thing as being embarrassed. There used to be a time, it doesn't make a difference whether you're a religious person or a non-religious person, there was a certain standard. There was accepted standard in the world. Doesn't make a difference what religion you were. But there were certain standards that civilized people had. And even though many people, of course, had different standards, but there was always a line that you can't cross. If you're a human being, you just don't cross that line. It'd be embarrassment, you know, to speak to the human species. Today, there's no such thing anymore. There's no such line anymore that you can't cross. You go all to the end. Why? Because we have lost the whole concept of busha, what it means to be embarrassed of doing something that's not appropriate for a human being. Forget about being a religious person, but even for a human being, there's certain thing. A human being does not behave like a beast. A human being does not behave like an animal. He's a civilized person. The fact that he's a civilized person, that behooves a different form of behavior. And of course, all cultures, of course, preach, at least they preach it, whether they practice it or not, certain standard of ethics, now, which is something which is morally acceptable and which is not acceptable. And yet time has come to the point that there's no embarrassment anymore. And if someone did something to breach that, you did it in hiding because you were embarrassed. You want people to know about it. But today it doesn't exist anymore. And that's why it's so important. As a matter of fact, it has effect over everyone here. Because if you live in this type of a generation, so even people who abide, of course, by even the strictest of morals, but we become desensitized. There's many, many things that we may recall when you heard about, you know, the trend, you know, in society going in certain directions, moving to new directions. When you heard it the first time, when something was very hard to hear. Now, you become desensitized, even though you don't agree with it. But you know what? It's something already, it's you're not surprised. And this is the way it happens. It could come a time, you know, that even the worst of situations, worst of behavior, depraved behavior, even though you're so far removed by it, doing it yourself, but you already become desensitized. Okay, it's something we heard about. It's nothing new already, you know. And it doesn't affect you that much. You don't become so startled anymore. And therefore, if we become desensitized, it means it does have some effect on ourselves also. It takes away the degree of busha and embarrassment or shame which should be attributed to this type of behavior. And therefore, it's very important, again, to be mechazik ourselves and to strengthen ourselves, to build within ourselves again that trait of busha means being embarrassed to do something that's inappropriate and to be mevuyish. And this is what the Orech HaTzadikim really is teaching in this chapter, Shar HaShlishi. It's called the Shar HaBusha. And he goes on and he starts with his opening words and he says as follows. HaBusha, he means shame, the concept of shame. Amru Chachomim, he says, our Chachomim have told us that Haseichel hu Habusha, intellect is shame, the Habusha hu Haseichel, and shame is intellect. What does he mean by that? What it means to say like this, in order for a person to experience shame, it comes from the Seichel. In other words, you have to have Seichel to understand that this is inappropriate. If a person is numb, you know, a person is living under anesthesia, he's not going to be aware that this is embarrassing, this is not embarrassing. It's the mind that interprets. It is the mind of a person that is able to discern and to discriminate, this is appropriate, this is shameful. To the extent that you understand that this is inappropriate, the more shameful you will feel doing something that's so inappropriate. So that's what he says, that ha-seichel hu ha-busha, which means to say is busha is a product coming out of seichel. If you want to know, if you see a person with a lot of busha, you understand that his seichel is also higher developed. That's why he understands that this is something that deserves busha, that deserves shame. So busha is something that comes from the person's intellect. And the opposite also, he says. Vahabusha, he says, hu ha-seichel. It means according to how much busha that a person has, you can see how much bal seichel he is. So again, so busha comes from seichel, and also from busha you can see how much seichel a person has. The degree of person has the mid of busha, you can also, therefore, figure out how much seichel this person has. And he goes on to say, ki al odom v'chava nemar, because you know regarding odom, first man, Adam and Chava, the Pesuk says, originally, that in the beginning that they were both naked, it says, Adam vishtoi, man and his wife, they were not ashamed. Because at that time they were not aware of the inyan of tznius. It was not a factor. The inyan of modesty before the chait, before eating of the fruit. They did not know the way of modesty. And to discriminate between what's good and evil at the time before they ate. But that was before. They didn't have, that's why you needed the Eitz Hadas. But this was prior to having the appropriate Das. And if they didn't have the Das, there was no Inyan of Busha either. But after when they ate from the tree of knowledge, they ate from the Eitz Hadas, then the Pesuk says, the eyes of both opened. Now that does not mean literally the eyes were open. Their eyes were open all the time. Their eyes were never really closed. Rashi tells us their eyes open means the eyes of seichel, the eyes of wisdom. Whereas till now a lot of things they were not aware of, but now after eating they said their eyes opened. Even, you know, in common language, you know, in the vernacular, you say it in English or in other languages. You know, when someone experiences, you say, it's an eye-opener. What means an eye-opener? The eyes were open before too. But if it's something very interesting that you find out, right? You become aware of something, especially something which is extraordinary. That's an eye-opener. So the expression of the eyes being open means understanding something or becoming aware of something special. And the Pesuk said that that their eyes opened up. It does not mean physically that their eyes opened. The eyes were always open. It means is that the eyes, the Eine HaSeichel, the eyes of wisdom opened up. And, says the Yochas Sadikim, V'chein kol balechayim, the truth is, all living creatures, Zulosi Hodom, except man, Eilam Busha, there's no shame. Animal does not know what shame means. No such thing. Does an animal have any busha walking around with any clothing? There's no such thing. No such busha. There's no shame. The only creature that has shame is Odom, is man. Why animals not? They don't have the proper wisdom. Yes, animals have their own animal instincts. They have animal seichel. But that's not really called chochma. It's called animal seichel. Intellect that animals have. Animals have a certain intellect, sure. They're intelligent. They're intelligent for what they are supposed to be. They're able to do what they're intended to do. You know what their purpose and their mission in life is. How could Yisroel created them for? But that's not wisdom. In its generic sense, we talk about real wisdom. So they don't have that real wisdom. They don't have chokhmah. They don't have busha. So he says that v'chol chacham leiv, all wise men, he says, Yodeya malas ha-seichel v'chochma. All wise men understand the value of intellect and wisdom. First of all, people especially who possess wisdom, they all the more appreciate wisdom. There are many people who have hopes and they would strive to have wisdom, but the truth is, if you don't really have it, you can't really fully appreciate it. It's the chochma who has the wisdom, they understand. They understand the value of wisdom. What is the value of wisdom? What does it give you? What do you get for it? What do you derive from it? He points out, because kibah, because it is with wisdom and intellect, yagia elamitis advarim. It is through wisdom that one is able to attain knowledge of truth. Someone is not really wise, he finds out things, but he reads it wrong. He's not able really to read it right. And when even if he sees certain pieces of information, but he's not really able to put it together properly. He thought he put it together properly. He thinks he understands it. But it's only through true value. The value of wisdom and chokhmah is because it is true. Chokhmah is through chokhmah and seichel. This is the medium to be able to attain emes digger knowledge, to attain amitis advarim, to attain knowledge of truth. And what else? What else is the value of wisdom? It says ubah, and also through it. Meaning is, again, through chokhmah and seichel, through intellect and wisdom. He says, gam yagia, you'll be able to attain, you'll be able to reach el yichud boiroi baruchu lavoidosoi. Which means that through the intellect of a person, he attains knowledge of the oneness of Hashem. In other words, to be able to appreciate also the role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, it takes a certain amount of intellect as well. As a matter of fact, in Bereishis, when the Pasuk describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, it says there that Nasa Odom, let us create a man b'tzalmeinu k'dmuseinu, which means in our image. So what does it mean, creating man in our image? Hashem said, I'm creating a man, as it were, in my image. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have physical features. So it does not mean creating a man, right, that in a physical way he's really like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not possible. So what does it mean, let's create man in my image? What does Hashem mean? What does it mean, man is in Hashem's image? So Rashi says right there. Rashi says, you know what it means, Kidmusainu? Lahovin ulahaskal, to have the ability to think and to discern. So says Rashi. That's what it means. Nas odam betzalmenu kidmusainu. Kidmusainu means because the Kodesh Baruch Hu, of course, is the one of the all superior, right? The Almighty. And the all superior, right? Super intellect above all intellects. Because Baruch is the highest level of intellect, if we could even attribute that kind of a title to Hashem. Because Baruch says, man will be somewhat similar to me in the sense he will have the ability, he will have the seichel, he will have the wisdom, he will have the ability to think, he will have the ability to discern. So that is the koyach of intellect. That's what makes a human being unique. What makes a human being unique is the fact that he has chokhmah, that he has seichel. And thereby, being that he is endowed with intellect and with chokhmah, with wisdom, you know what else it means? It means, says Yochel Sadikim, it says further, ubah, through the medium of intellect, he says, Yochel hidamus l'malochim. It means that he is like an angel. It means man's intelligence is angelic. So here you look on one hand, you see man is an earthly being. Now look how far removed the animal world is from him. He is on one side, he is a human being, he possesses chokhmah, he possesses wisdom, he possesses intellect, right? And the other side you have the animals, but then look how far man is. The difference between man, right, and the world and the animal world is not merely he's a human being and these are animals. Man is closer to malachim than he is to the animals. In the world of science, I guess man is closer to, he's also a beast, he's a human beast, right? You can say we all have animalistic instincts, but we possess the tremendous power to our seichel and chokhmah to be able to control and to rule over ourselves, albeit it's difficult, but we have that ability, we have the ability, and that makes us closer to angels. So says Yochel Sadikim. As a matter of fact, what he's saying is truly, it's a Gemara Chagiga Daf Zayin. The Gemara says that there is quite a number of things how man compares to angels, and yes, there are other things that man compares also to the animal world, to the creatures of the world. Among the things, says the Gemara Chagiga, that man compares is closer to angels, says the Gemara, Yesh lohem das kemalachi ashoris, that human beings have das. In that sense, they are more doime, like malachim, like angels. And that's what Yochel Sadikim here is telling us, that ubah, through the medium of man's intellect, Yochel Hidamizi can compare the malachim like angels. Now, if that's the case, that man possesses this great power of chokhmah, so now there's a responsibility. It behooves. It demands something. Because Baruch Hu gave you chokhmah, that means you have to use it. You have a tool. So he says, V'kiv nishamalas ha-chokhmah gedoy l'kol kach. Now that we have shown that the quality of wisdom is so great, we see he's like a malach, right? He's like in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was pointed out. So now that I've shown you how great the value of chokhmah is, So now it behooves Tzricha, it means that there's a need. It means it has to be paralleled by equal greatness by its related trait. In other words, what's the related trait to Chochmah? That's Busha. That's the Orchid Sadikim says. In other words, if you have such Chochmah, if in fact you have such Chochmah, that Chochmah should allow you to have shame when you're doing something inappropriate. That's what true Chochmah should bring you. Being that Chochmah is so great, so it behooves, he says, that it should be paralleled by equal greatness. That Chochmah that you have, the degree of Chochmah that you have, should be paralleled by equal greatness, he says, by its related trait. What's the related trait to Chochmah? Shehi midas habusha kroivelo, which that is the mid of busha. So, the truth is, anyone who's a real Baal Seichel, says Yochid Tzadikim, in fact, should be all the more aware of being embarrassed and feel shame of doing something which is not appropriate for man of such high standing, of such high caliber. Can you imagine if a princely person, right, going out of the royal court, and he gets drunk, he gets inebriated, or does something very inappropriate, of course, the shame has to be all the more greater. A person who's coming out of a lower house, great house, the embarrassment is less, because he's not that chosh, he's not important. The more important that a person is, right, and should he slip and do something terrible, the bush is all the more greater. Well, the human being, by definition, is so great. The human being in general, being that he possesses this chokhmah, and he's created in the image of Hashem because of that chokhmah, that means he's like a royal prince, right? A royal prince that does something that's so shameful to the house where he comes from. We too, every human being who has chokhmah, because of the chokhmah, which means we have such a high madrega of standing, and therefore it behooves a higher level of behavior and a standard. The more chokhmah you have, it demands a higher level of a standard. And therefore you should feel all the more busha, should be ashamed of doing something that's inappropriate. That is the yesod, that's the foundation that the Orchid Tzadikim builds, connecting Chochmah with busha. He once asked Aristotle. Aristotle's private life was a very mushlidiga life, was a terribly immoral type of a life. And they asked him, he said, such a great Chocham like you, how can you behave so lowly, like an animal? He says, I'm only a Chocham, he says, from the shoulders up. From the shoulders down, he says, I'm an animal, he says. So my Chocham start from the shoulders up. From the shoulders down, he says, I'm not a Chocham, he says. No, so this is, but you're really, this is not the way. This is the way because the person is allowing, right, is allowing his physical, is allowing that his physical traits to be able to overpower his Chochmah, and that is of course the ability that Hashem gave man, the power of wisdom, should he want to use it appropriately, that he has the ability, and this in fact should be his mode of behavior. And he goes on further, Uraya, and I will prove to you that Seichel and Busha go together. He says, Shloi Ra'iso, he says, Baishon Chosodas. You will not find really a person, right, who on the one hand feels shame and yet he's deficient in knowledge. For example, in other words, young children or retarded people don't feel embarrassed. A child will do all types of things. Why? He's a human being. The answer is his seichel is not developed yet. If his seichel is not developed, so he's not embarrassed by doing whatever the child does. Or someone who is retarded, again, he's chosar das, right, lacking das, lacking knowledge and so on, is also not embarrassed. So he's pointing out to you. And then he says further, and the truth is, a person who has true knowledge and true awareness of what it means, what a human being means, is it's not shaykh, he shouldn't be embarrassed, he shouldn't have shame. If he doesn't feel shame, it means he's really deficient in his chokhmah. Right? He may have a high IQ, it doesn't mean he has chokhmah. He may be very, very quick in certain areas, but does not possess true chokhmah. Because if you possess real chokhmah, you'll be able to really understand, right, what that means, the value of that chokhmah, and what it demands of a human being. You'll understand the standard of a human being, and therefore, again, to feel shame of doing something that's inappropriate. Now, okay, having said that, he says, Royal Cholodom, I tell you, says the Orchid Tzadikim, it is appropriate for each and every man, Lishtadel ulisnaig bimida hacheshuv azois. That's important to work at it, to work and to conduct yourself with this noble trait, and that is busha. Lishakim lo, you have to try to educate yourself. In other words, you should employ wisdom in cultivating busha to be part of your neshama. This is an avoidah. This is something that to work at, to feel that. The yagbiroisa al kol tovov. And the midah of busha should empower, right? You should empower it over all your impulses. This is what we're talking about. Because a person's impulses, many times, are greater than busha. Yes, yes. Many times a person risks doing something that's totally wrong. But she knows he might make the newspapers, right? He all knows the risk. Might be imprisoned. But your impulses, right, for doing the inappropriate, either for the gain of money, either whatever the motive might be, are stronger, right, than the side of possible shame. He knows there might be shame, but he risks it. Why do people gamble? You know you might lose. Because that impulse that you have, right, makes it worthwhile. And then, unfortunately, then you pay the price, but it's too late already. This is what he's saying. That the Yagbir, see to empower, to strengthen the power of busha over your impulse. Your impulse tells you, forget about the busha. Impulse says, do what you want to do. Do what you like to do. Do what feels good. And many people do it, by the way, in any area. Many people know that, let's say, smoking is harmful. They know it intellectually, but the impulse is stronger. And the same thing in many, many areas of life. Or the same thing could be maybe certain foods are very harmful. Especially some people have certain illnesses. And they especially might have to stay away from certain foods. And they know it. But the impulse, nevertheless, is stronger. So that's why the Yochas Zikim says, to make sure to be magbir, that which is right, that which is supposed to be doing, see to empower it. See to strengthen that over your impulses. It's not easy. Nobody said it was easy. But again, that's what makes it worthwhile to live as a human being. And it says, V'tiyeh be'einov chashuv v'mishar midoysof. And I want you to, in your eyes, the mid of shame should be high up in importance, more than other character traits, he says. Why? Kiboh, because if you have busha, yagia el reiv ha-mailus. As a matter of fact, this is the door, this is the window. If you have busha, it's going to lead to all the other positive mailus, all the other positive character traits. Because if you have busha, then you're going to refrain from doing things that are inappropriate, and obviously you're going to be motivated to do a lot of the right things. So a male that comes out, if you have busha, it's really going to be the door and the key. So therefore he says, this midah is chashuva from shar midahs. It's really more chashuva than otherwise, because this is going to be the window, this is the highway that's going to lead to all the different midah shtoivahs. But if you don't have busha, then why take the highway to midah shtoivahs? Take the highway to other things that you'd rather be doing. So the midah busha, he says, is chashuva from all other midahs, because this is the road that's going to lead you. It's going to lead you to doing the other positive midahs. And he says, V'yimona ma'averis. If you have busha, it's going to guard him from doing averis, from transgressing. U'mekol midos megunos, and from all type of negative traits. Because you have busha, it's going to stand there as a barrier. It's going to be a guard. And he goes on to point out. He says, midos ha'busha, he says, he go there. The midah busha is a fence. If you have that midah. U'mechitzes ha'barzel, it's an iron barrier. If they call averis, before any averis. He says, because busha will not allow you to do it. If you possess busha, will not be allowed. You don't feel you're able to do it. Now, busha from whom? Are we talking about busha from human beings? Yes, avada. People have busha. People will not allow themselves to do many things in public. In private, they'll do it. They're ashamed. They're embarrassed for what other people will say. They don't want other people to know. But the ultimate busha, he says, is not from human beings. It's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you can never hide from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Busha from a human being only means that when you're behind closed doors, you don't have that busha. But a person can develop the idea that Krish Baruch Hu really is watching. That's what the Baruch Hu said, England, to point out. If you are able to develop that idea and really understand that, because that's it's true, but a person has to really absorb that. You have to absorb that teaching. And you have to internalize that teaching, that Krish Baruch Hu watches and sees everything that you're doing. So the truth is, it's always in front of the eyes of Hashem. And therefore it behooves busha, no matter where you are, at all time, as he goes out to point out. He says, Ki odom oiver kam averis beseser. The mid of busha is something that protects a person, because you see, in hiding, in private, he will do many averis, because then he doesn't feel any busha. Mashis bayish lifnei bnei odom. Right? Beseser. But he can be embarrassed to do it, many things that he'd be embarrassed to do it in front of other people, but in hiding, in private, he will do it. And so to our Chachomim have told us, Bishas Petiras ben Zakai, Gemara and Brochis Dav Kof Ches. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakai was about to depart this world. So he left his last message for his Talmidim. And the Gemara said, what was that last message that he left for the Talmidim? Omdloi Talmidov, Rabbeinu, Borcheinu. The Talmidim said, Rabbi, give us a blessing, give us a Brocha. Om Alohem, what kind of a Brocha do you think he gave his Talmidim? Remember, this is the Rabbi, he's leaving. He's leaving this world, he's going to the next world. If you have to give one bracha to your talmidim, what bracha would you give them? What bracha would you give them that this is going to be the bracha that's going to be the best thing, right, for the rest of their life? He says, Yirotzoi, let it be the will of Hashem, Shetehei Moire Shemaim Aleichem Kemoire Basav Adam. Let the fear of heaven be upon you like the fear of flesh and blood, like you fear other people. This is the bracha he gave them. Let the fear of heaven be upon you the same way that you fear human beings. Talmidim at first didn't understand it. Omr Eloi, Adkam V'Soloi. That's all, that's the bracha. In other words, we should fear Hashem only to the degree that we fear human beings. Hashem is much greater. We should only have as much Yerushimayim as we have against other people. So Rabbi Yochanan says, listen, he says, Omro Halavai, would it be that so, he says. Would it be that so? Because Teda, you are well aware, he said, when a person does an aver, he does it in private, and he says, nobody will see me. So in other words, that is a tremendous deterrent. The person will feel that in private, Hashem's presence will be to him as if other people are there, this will protect him from chet. The bracha was that they should always recognize that Hashem is seeing. The fear of Hashem should be upon you, he says, no less than the fear of other people. V'chozeh, why are you afraid of people? Why are you afraid to do a sin and a aver in front of people? Why? It's only because. So what's people going to see? So what's going to be? But if people are going to see, you're going to be embarrassed. So the reason is busha. So the Yisoid Adover is Busha, the Yoshua Ben Averis, and this is going to, right? This is going to refrain him, he's going to do tshuva, he's going to go back, he's going to overturn his life, right? Away from Averis, Machmashi is Baish, Mibnei Yodom, because he's embarrassed, he says. And he goes on further to say, and his truth is, he says, Kimetoch Shaloy Lishma Bo Lishma. Here he's saying something very, very interesting. The truth is, he says, this is not the ultimate madrega. This is not really the true madrega. The truth is, a person starts, right, to do the right thing, hopefully, as much as he can. It starts out, what holds him back? What holds him back from doing the other things? What holds him back from doing the wrong thing? What holds him back from doing inappropriate thing? Because of busha. What's the busha? The busha is because he's embarrassed of other people. Doesn't get a reputation of being a robber. Doesn't get a reputation of being a stealer. Doesn't want to have a reputation. That's why I have a bad reputation. Ultimately, he says, that's good. It's good. If that keeps you back, it's very good. But ultimately, you should do it because for the fear of Hashem, not because of what people are going to say. But you know what? We can't climb the ladder so quickly to do things on the highest level. First, you do it for an alternative motive. The alternative motive is because I'm embarrassed for people. But mitoch shaloy lishma bo lishma. But if you keep doing the right thing, even though it's not for the right reason, but do the right thing, even not for the right reason, at the end you'll do it for the right reason. Kimetosh shaloy lishma, says bo lishma. In the beginning you separate yourself from chait because of busha mibnei yodom. Because you're embarrassed. Once you separated yourself from chait, once you already succeed in separating yourself from chait, so now you're going to develop, right? You can develop the true attitude, and that is to keep doing the same thing, to refrain from chait, but that's because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Because the pachad you have from Hashem, it's not the pachad that you have from the Bnei Odom. But you know what? It's a very good start, he says. You have to have the barrier, you have to have that which is going to motivate you, you have to have that which is going to stop you. So first you have to have the fear of the policeman is also good. The fear of busha, you're afraid to be embarrassed, other people should not see, that's also fine to begin with. But ultimately, he says, you're going to see, you're going to rise to a higher level. That's mitoich shaloy lishma, he says, is bo lishma. And that's how he goes further. The highest level of busha of shame is not shame from other people. That's a lower level of busha. To be embarrassed, other people will see what you're doing. Yes, very beneficial. But that's the lower level of busha. The higher level of busha is to be embarrassed because Hashem sees what you're doing. And it's a higher level, but it's not easy to attain because Hashem is non-tangible. It's something that you don't see. You don't always feel the presence of Hashem unless you're a very big tzaddik who is mekayim shvisa Hashem l'negdi somi, where Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence is within you, which is on top of you, right? You feel it all the time. But that's the highest level, he says. The highest level of midas habusha is bayish lifnei Kodesh Baruch Hu. The busha should be because of Hashem. Kiyin shenemar the posik in Ezra. The posik in Ezra says, Elokai. He says, my Rabbeinu Shleilum, he says, Elokai, my God. Boishti minichlamti. I'm embarrassed and ashamed. Lehorim Elokai pone alecho. I'm embarrassed to lift my face to you. That's the true busha. The true busha is you can't face Hashem. You can't face a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Chassadikim speaks it out and tries to guide you by the hand. How do you develop fear from Hashem, or busha from Hashem, to be embarrassed, to feel shameful? Because you may ask the question, he says, he poses the question. Vimtachsho, if you may think, right, and you may contemplate. And you say to yourself, how can I develop busha from someone that I don't see? I should be ashamed from Hashem, but I don't see Hashem, you may ask. He says, in other words, you see, because the kasha, because busha is an emotional feeling, it's not an intellectual feeling. So maybe intellectually a person says, yeah, I know Hashem is here, Hashem is here. But busha is something which is an emotional feeling. And if it's an emotional feeling, so how does the emotion of busha, right, work, right? How does it work upon a person when intellectually, right, maybe he knows something, but he does not really feel the presence of Hashem? So how will that generate busha? You may ask the question, he says. I can't see Hashem. So how am I going to feel a busha doing what I'm intend to do in front of Hashem? So he says, I want you to know, he says, that even though Hashem is hidden from the eyes of any living being, but He is found in the hearts of human beings. Hashem is found there, Hashem's presence is all there, and is revealed in their minds. And the way to internalize and to feel, actually feel the presence of Hashem, is something where a person, you have to work at that. In other words, you have to meditate, thinking about the greatness of Hashem. In other words, the person says to himself, that 24 hours a day, even though I daven, right, and even though I have my shir, and even though maybe I do my tzedakah, but truthfully speaking, how much, forget hours, the person ever give 5 minutes to think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Very rarely does a person say, how much time during the day did a person really say, how much time did I devote just thinking about Hashem? There's Hashem in the world. You don't think about it. And by the way, even if you're davening, somehow you forget whom you're davening. It's something to do. You open up the siddur and you're davening. And whatever you're doing, truthfully, yes, you're doing it because you were taught and you believe this is the right thing. But at the same time, you're not conscious. You're not feeling that you're standing in front of the King of Kings. You don't have the argosh. You don't feel it. So you have to develop that hargosh, you have to develop that feeling, that experience within yourself, you have to work at it. So he points out, he says, the yasig ha-madrega shel ha-busha, you know how you're going to achieve the madrega busha? Behizboididoi, lachshoi v'gdulas Hashem Baruch Hu. You have to work at it, you have to devote time in solitude. In solitude. Close the radio, close the window, you know. Turn your face to the wall, don't let any distractions, and start thinking about the greatness of Hashem. Give it some time. If you keep doing that, you devote time about thinking about Gadol Hashem, that Hashem will be in your life. You'll feel Hashem in your life. Because Hashem is there anyway, you just don't feel it. As the Zohar HaKadosh says, Leis Asar Ponim Menei, there's no place, there's no mokim without Hashem. There's no place in the entire world where the presence of Hashem is not there. So Hashem's presence really is truly everywhere. However, for us to feel it, and to actually live with it, that is something that says you have to work at it. Because Beidadoi, in solitude, right, your Dalai Lamas, devote some time thinking about the greatness of Hashem. And what else are you going to think? Take the time of solitude, think about the greatness of Hashem, and think about what Hashem does, and what Hashem's ability is, and Hashem's relationship to you. Take time thinking about that. Remember, he says, Hashem sees everything you do. Internalize that. Yeah, if you ask someone in a questionnaire, he says, does Hashem see? You say, yeah, the answer can be yes. Give her, think about it, no. Do you believe Hashem sees? Yes, I believe. He'll say, I believe. He'll say it. Do you feel that Hashem sees? Do you ever think about that? No, I don't think about that. This is Dorcha Tzadikim. Here's where the problem lies. Because a person has to really internalize that feeling that Hashem really sees myself, sees his deeds, uboichen kil yosef, and Hashem searches man's conscience. Hashem searches man's conscience, v'tsoifim machshavoyosof, and looks into his thoughts. He points out, Moshel, there was a Moshel, a parable that one of the Chachomim once said. He says, in his heart, he says, if a person, let's say, succeeded, right, tremendous achievement, you'd say, he succeeded all his life to refrain from sin. So a Chacham once said to that person, assuming, very rarely, right, one is able to achieve that, but assuming that you achieved this mighty goal, that you were able to refrain, you were careful from sinning. So the Chacham said to that person, Al tachzik toiv al yatzmecha. He says, don't ascribe merit for yourself. You know why? Because the reason you did it is you're embarrassed for other people. It's not a great a godless in you. It's because of the shame that you didn't want to feel for another people. So it's not that you did it, in other words, because, right? Because objectivity, because this is the thing, the right thing for me to do. You were embarrassed for other people. So what you did was, should be ascribed to other people caused you to do this. It's not that you from within really was ready to do it. It was the busher. Because the way it starts, that a person leaves, stops doing averus, it's machmas shemizbayish v'midayodom. So he says, so fine. So a person has to be careful. So a person ultimately has to work on the fact, good, I'm embarrassed from people, but that shouldn't be my real reason. A person has to work to come to the idea that ultimately Hashem is there. He has to push it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But being we're not that madrega right away, so we utilize and we take any busha that's possible. And that is the lower level of busha. But a person should be careful, ultimately, he should take care. He should not stop averus simply mipnei habusha shel bnei adam, because he's embarrassed because the people are going to say. Because he says, ke yetzer mamshich libel inyan zeh. The yetzer hara draws a person in that direction. The yetzer hara says like this. Now, first of all, the way it works is very interesting. The yetzer hara has many, many ways. The yetzer hara doesn't give up. He first, right, he shoots for the jugular. If he can't get you the jugular, so he's satisfied with every little thing, any infringement that he can cause you. In other words, the Yetzer Hara tries to cause you to sin. If he sees that you're not sinning, right, and let's say you're not sinning, you're not doing it. So the Yetzer Hara says, you're not sinning, but because you'd be embarrassed. Now, the Yetzer Hara at least doesn't want you to stop sinning for the higher madrega because the Kodesh Baruch was there. The Yetzer Hara says, oh, look and be embarrassed. People are going to see what you're doing. So the Yetzer Hara says, you're going to stop sinning. He has no choice. The Yetzer Hara first would like you to sin. But the Yetzer Hara lost that battle. He sees that you're not sinning. You're not doing the Avera. So at least he wants you to stop doing the Avera, even if you're for the wrong reason. Because you're embarrassed. It's what people are going to say. So he says, the Yetzer Hara tries to direct the person in that direction. Im tasa kach, he says to the person, if you do this and this Avera, how can you do this? Yachlimucha b'nei yodom. People will shame you. So says Yerchat Tzadikim, so the higher level is to feel the shame, the presence of Hashem. That should be our real busha. V'chein tzorach odom laso is rishon l'chol rishonim. The highest priority, he says, the goal to shoot at, he says, sheyeda es yitzroi, you should recognize where the Yetzer Hara is at. V'yakir koichoi, you should also recognize the strength of the Yetzer Hara. There's a girsa yoytzer. I should recognize Hashem, right? Hashem's presence. The yiten es liboy and should impress upon himself. Lemi yavoit. To whom are you serving? Hashem. Umi hu yare. Who are you afraid of? Who do you fear? It's Hashem. Lemitzas miyase. Whose commandments are you doing? Hashem. Umi his hero. Who warned you not to do this? Hashem. 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 Kumashomer dovel shloimer benoyz dovel amelo set to san shloimer. Das alekei avicha. Always remember, he said, the God of your fathers. Vavdeu and serve him. If a person follows this derech, says Yerchat Tzadikim, and we conclude with this line, ubezeho inyan, and in this way, yagia sheyizbayish lifnei Kodesh Baruch Hu bilvad, it will not be the motivation because of people, but because Baruch Hu. So avada navada, we start Rabbi Yisai with people, but ultimately the highest goal is the true embarrassment should be with the living of Hashem. So let's go, Rabbi Yisai. Let's take a look at the sheet we have here. There's two in yonim. Let's say we'll take a look at least at one we have here on the sheet. And that's something that we tried to do last week. We didn't get to it. It was very interesting. And this is something, again, from Rav Yosef Eibshitz, from a sefer called Chaim Shiyesh Behem in Parshat Bishalach, from a sefer in the Tzutzei Oyer, which is a sefer which brings down glimpses of Rav Meir Shapiro, the Lublin Rov. So it's a fascinating little piece here. As he points out over here, let's take a look at the first item that we have over here on the sheet. He brings down from the Sefer Nitzutzei Oyer HaMeir. These are rays of light from Meir, Meir Shapiro. Meir also means light. Meir Shapiro, who was Mashpia light, right? Who brought a lot of illumination. So there's a Sefer called Nitzutzei Oyer HaMeir, which means Vertlacht, Vorts, which came out as, right? Rays of wisdom coming out of the mind and mouth of Meir Shapiro. So he brings down what Hagoyen Meir Shapiro, Zatzal of Lublin, he said once, B'meh God L'yoyser, he said, what is greater, v'nachnu mo, v'noichi ofar v'efer. In other words, the Gemara tells us, nachum da peites, Moshe Rabbeinu was a great onov, of course, and Avraham Avinu was a great onov. Moshe Rabbeinu uses the lashon v'nachnu mo, we are nothing. V'nachnu mo, we are nothing. Rav Avinu used the expression that we are offer of the Afer. We are dirt and dust, ashes and dust. Right? So the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu's anivus is greater than Avraham Avinu's. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu said we are nothing. We mean not even no substance whatsoever. We are nothing. Rav Avinu, right? Very good, great honor, no question. But we at least offer something. Offer, right? It's dirt, it's dust. Afer is ashes. Moshe Rabbeinu said nachnu mo. But the truth is, it would seem that we're playing on words. If somebody says I'm offer and dust, it's like saying I'm nothing. I mean, what does it mean? What does it mean? So what's the significance that Moshe Rabbeinu saying v'nachnu mo happens to be really greater than Avraham Avinu who said v'noichi offer ve'efer? Why is nachnu mo? We are nothing. Why is there a greater demonstration of anivus than Avraham Avinu saying we are offer ve'efer? So Rav Meir Shapiro said it as follows. He prefaced it with a story of Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz. In this thing, we started this year with Bianchi Venden. Now we're ending with Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz. So I go to Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz, that's all. Bal Yaris Davash. Wrote a sefer called Yaris Davash. He started his palo me yom in the royim, right? He attempted, on yom in the royim, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he attempted to daven liyad Yehudi, she mispalo b'leiv shobor v'nitche. Rabbi Yonis attempted, at yom in the royim, to stand next to a yid who davens really with a broken heart, with a lot of kavona, Yom Naroim, after all, it's a fearful time. And Yom Naroim, when it comes to the time of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we are pleading for our lives, we are pleading for our parnosis. So Rabbi Yonison on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he attempted to find and stand next to a yid who he feels davens properly, right? Does the right thing, has the right state of mind. That's a bracha in our hearts, standing and davening before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he sought out such a yid, who davens with tremendous kavona, with tremendous elokite, to stand next to him. Ba'achas Hashanim, in one particular year, Chippish based Philos Mincha Shel Erev Yom Kippurim. Right? He was looking for a Yid. It was a Mincha on Erev Yom Kippur. Achra Yehudi is searching for a Yid. Shel Yoda Yamoid B'Tfilis Hayoim. Right? So on Tfilis HaMincha on Erev Yom Kippur, so now it was Erev Yom Kippur, he figures, who's a good Yid to stand throughout Yom Kippur? Who's a good Yid that I should stand by him? So he's looking around the shul Erev Yom Kippur. He was observing how everybody was davening and decided, based upon Erev Yom Kippur, you know, Mincha Erev Yom Kippur is already not Stama Mincha. You say the video is already an Erev Yom Kippur, Mincha Erev Yom Kippur. So I'm going to look around and pick out a yid that I feel this is the best yid to stand next to him on Yom Kippur. So Tarki de Chippush, as he was searching around, Oiru Einov, his eyes lit up. Hurrah, he saw Yehudi Poshit, he saw Poshit Yid. Vizokin, an elderly person, Shishofach Demoyis Harbe, he saw a yid really pouring his heart in tears. And it's davening. Ad ki hirtivu es dafei ha-marzer shalafonav. The tears actually wet the pages of the marzer. Oh, this seems a yid who really knows what davening is all about. So a yid, tears, elderly gentleman. Poshet yid, an elderly gentleman. But Poshet, his heart was in his davening. His tears wet the pages of the marzer. B'siyum tfilah Shemon Esrei. And at the end of Shemon Esrei, we know we say in the davening, if you might remember, he said, he heard how the Yid was saying, Ketan HaYudi Omer, Ofra Ni B'chayoi. You know, we say, well, we all say it. But the Yid was saying with such kavana, I was Ofra, he says, I was dust when I'm alive. Kal V'chayomer B'misosi, right? Certainly when a person, after he's gone, he certainly turns to dust. But the Yid was expressing himself as the davening says, what am I? What is a human being? Right? We're standing in front of Hashem. Standing in front of Hashem, what am I? Ofra Ni B'chayoi, Kal V'chayomer B'misosi. And you know what? And the Yid was translating it. In order, as if to internalize those words. And he was translating the words, Bechai I offer. If I am offer, if I'm like dust when I'm alive, so certainly, right, after I'm gone, right? So the Yid was really involved, right? I'm offer, I'm nothing. When I'm alive, I'm nothing. Certainly after I'm gone, certainly I'm nothing. So Zehu Yehudi Neman. So Yehudi said, oh, this seems to be a loyal Jew. Neman v'chare, this seems to be a truly serious-minded yid whom is spalled be'emes, believe shover v'nitke, he's davening with a broken heart. He says, here liyatsim Rabbi Yonison. Rabbi Yonison thought to himself, right? V'nechpo elisoy des asudam of sedes, and he went quick, v'nechpas, and he went very quickly to eat the sudam of sekes, that's the last suda, right, that yid on Erev Yom Kippur. V'lahagdim alechaz at filis kol nidrit, and he went to shul early, why? Because he wanted to make sure that he's going to have the seat next to the seat. So he quickly eats the Surah of Sekis, goes to Shul quickly to make sure, to stand next to that Yid. Okay, and he says, and certainly he says, there was no disappointment. The night of Kol Nidre, there was no disappointment. That Yid continued to daven the same way that it was Erev Yom Kippur. Be'leil Yom Kippurim Ulamachra says the night of Yom Kippur, and even the next day, the Yid did not disappoint. The Hifli B'tachnunim, he davened extra, right? He davened extra fervor. Somach Rabbi Yonison Shloi Shogar. Rabbi Yonison was happy that he didn't make a mistake. In other words, he picked a good Yid to stand next to. Ach simchosa le'orcha shoyz rabbis, but that simcha did not last too long. The kras atzoharayim, when it came noontime. Beis kriyas ha'toira, when it came to kriyas ha'toira, nikra yehudi le'toira le'revi, they gave him the aliyah revi. They called him revi, umiyad, as soon as they called up this yid, revi, porat klape gabai, he broke out, the yid broke out and ran to the gabai, Bishetzef Ketzef, with a foamy mouth, you know, full of anger. Foam in his mouth. He says, Leplenia Hejit, so and so, who is a nobody, he said, him you gave Shlishi. And me, he says, you're giving Revi. The Bishetzef could not believe it. Is this the same person? Is this the same person who's saying, Ofrani Bechaya, he says, I am nothing when I'm alive. Kavachoymer Ben Misosi. Is that the same person? Look what happened to him. All of a sudden, he's a somebody. All of a sudden, he becomes so embarrassed. Somebody, he gave me Revi. Become so upset. So Nidham Vinishtoimim, his mem is astonished. Omar Rumyozim Koima Vishwal, so he said, I'm going to ask the Yid. He asked him. Hare Rak Emesh, it was just only yesterday. Amarto Bechaya Yofar. He says, my lifetime I'm an offer, I'm nothing. Kalvachoimim Bimisasi. So the Yid says, to whom did I say Yofar Bechaya? I'm talking to Hashem. Compared to Hashem, I'm a nothing. But compared to that Yid, I'm a somebody. He says, yes, I was talking to Hashem. Compared to Hashem, I'm nothing. But standing next to that Yid, I'm a big somebody, he said. So as he points out, he says, Lemi Omarti, he says, who did I say that? Sure, I said it yesterday, Ofra Nibachai. Who did I say that? Hey, Shiva Yehudi, the Yid answered. Al Rabbeinu Shaloylam Kibiyachu. Because Yibach Omarti, I said, like Al Rabbeinu Shaloylam, certainly, Hineni Ofra Bialma. Of course, I'm just simply dust. Al Gabois Ahedjit. Again, he called him Hedjit. He said, but this lowly person, but this. Right? Against this holy person. And Yehudi Hogu the Mechubid Yaiser, I'm very, he says, Mechubid the Geyid. I'm not offer compared to him. Messiah Aram Shapiro Zatzal. So now said Rameh Shapiro. Now we can understand the difference. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Venachnu Mo. And Abram Vinu said, Venochi offer Vefer. When Abram Vinu said, I am offer Vefer, I'm dust and ashes, he was talking to Hashem. So Avadet, to say Venochi offer Vefer, standing to Hashem, that's not such a big deal. Moshe Rabbeinu said v'nachnu mo against his adversaries, against the people that were fighting with him, against other human beings, and to stand against your opponents and still be able to say v'nachnu mo against other human beings, that's a big madrega of a nevis. That's the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu's v'nachnu mo and Avraham Avinu's saying v'noich over v'efer. Messiah Maram Shapiro, that's all he concluded. V'omer Shlom Avinu Omer L'Kadosh Baruch Hu v'noich over v'efer, he says ein zeh revusa, that's not a big deal, you're saying to Hashem. Those that were complaining against him, those that are tainous against him, even those complainers, he says, that's a madrega of an ivis. This is how a true onav is. Abraham Avinu was also a great onav, no question about it. But at least in the expression to whom he said it, Chazal won't just point it out. Stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one madrega of an ivis. Good. But some people don't even have an ivis there either. But upon him, but Moshe Rabbeinu's an ivis was regarding that. So again, this is more insight to Rabbi Yisai against in the anivis of the great people and how to truly be able to define midos tovus and to work at it, and as Hashem, we should have more tzlocha.